Catholic, already explained about him and his ministry, and he'll be telling us more about their ministry, as well as preaching to us the Word of God. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Well, I see we got a lot of clocks up there.
Yeah.
You said I'm supposed to be done at noon.
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah. Oh, you got one down the bottom there.
Yeah, we're going to go with that one.
We go with that one?
Yeah.
Well, it is good to be here and have my wife with me. I'll give you a little bit about us. Yeah, we did grow up in Cast Isle. I met Mary at Bible Camp. How many of you ever heard of Elohim Bible Institute or Elohim Bible Camp? Well, that's where we met when we were about 8 years old, and she asked me to marry her. You know, you learn to obey, but anyway, this next June, if I be good, we'll be married 60 years.
Amen.
And the Lord has been good to us. So he's given us 3 children and 6 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. And we thank the Lord for that. We had 2 boys and a girl, and I believe I can honestly say they're in church this morning. And I thank the Lord for that. That's so important in raising your children. But we grew up down there, and I thank the Lord for that. I kind of want to do so many things this morning. I have a message that I want to give, but then again, when you're talking about Western New York, coming from a small town, and the Lord takes you and uses you, I want to share a little bit of my testimony. That I'm a preacher's kid. Daddy traveled, and there's probably nobody old enough to remember the old-fashioned revival hour with Dr. Charles Fuller. Daddy traveled with him years ago and worked with that. And then with Dr. John R. Rice, the editor of The Sword of the Lord. And I'm 1 of 10. There was 10 of us growing up, 7 boys and 3 girls. And we came to New York in 1947, I guess it was. Or no, 44. And we moved. Mr. Perkins had started the Bible camp and a Bible school. And we were from Jersey. Daddy got saved as an older man. And I went to Philadelphia School of Bible, and he met the Perkinses there. And, you know, you're zealous, you want to do something for the Lord, you want other people that are zealous to work with you. And so he convinced my dad to come to New York and pastor a church, the Owacka Baptist Church. And I think your church is bigger than our church. But they always teased when we got there that there was 10 children there, or there was 10 of us, including Mom and Dad. And we doubled the church attendance that first Sunday. And, but the church grew, and Daddy stayed there for some years. And, but you know, I wish I could say right off the bat that my life as I grew up, I got saved as a youngster. I can remember that. And went through school, and you know, you kind of can get in trouble. And I used to get in trouble. And I wasn't perfect. You know, most preachers' kids are. It's the deacons' kids. They're bad. But anyway, through school, I was in and out with my troubles and so on. And went into service. Well, I went to Bob Jones Academy down in Greenville, South Carolina. And I came back home. I left there before they asked me to leave. So that gives you a little background. But I came home, and Mary and I, well, I went to service, and then Mary and I got married while I was in the service. And I came back home, and I was involved in the dairy business, and milking cows, and UHI, Chester, and so on. And then, being ambitious and learning how to work, you know, Daddy taught us how to work when we were kids growing up. And, I was ambitious, and I started a construction company. And you may have heard of Mucher Erector, Mucher Construction, and based out of Warsaw, actually. And the Lord blessed. I mean, hard work, he blessed that, I do believe, but at the same token, my life wasn't the way it was supposed to be. I'm not proud of that, by no means, but God blessed in spite of what I was doing sometimes. And Mary and the kids, they all prayed for me all the time. I kind of, you know, you become successful, you might say, in business, you're whatever, and meeting a lot of people, and wining and dining and all that stuff. And we were doing good work. And I fell in the ways that I shouldn't have, and I'm not proud of that. And I don't want to say that. But you know, God is real, folks.
Yes,
remember that. But you know who's just as real? That's the devil. And you mentioned this morning about he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And he's looking. That's why it's so important to be encouraged. And you have your daily devotion. Spend time with the Lord. But anyway, I had the opportunity to bid a job in Africa. And I got that contract. And I was, 38 years old then, I guess. And I ended up going to Africa. And Mary and the kids stayed home. I'd be there for 6 months and come back. And I thought I was a big shot. I got to, you know, draw, I got the world by the tail now. I can do my own thing. And I had, my brother was working for me. And he came, I sold him the business because it won't be all that. But anyway, he took over the business and I started the overseas construction company. While I was there, you know, the Lord has a plan. And I had my Bible there, and I started reading my Bible. Isaiah 55:11 says, His word will not return unto void. And I just started reading my Bible and praying for my wife and kids at home. I knew what was right. I knew what was right. And God started working in my heart. And I was looking forward to getting into the Word and reading the Bible. Mary would send me stuff from home, the food, everything had to be flown over there. It was a job that had to be done right away. It was in Nigeria, Africa, is where I was. And in April that year, she sent, well, I left here in 77, the winter, the big storm that they had sent. I left right at the end of that storm while they were still trying to clean up. But anyway, she would send our Sunday school paper. And our church down there got the paper called Power for Living. I don't know if you ever heard of that one by Scripture Press. They had the counselor paper and Power for Living and some other things that were by Scripture Press. And there was an article in this one paper that came written by Joyce Lando. And she said she was not going to get involved in the controversy of the different translations of the Bible. She just wanted her life to translate and others would see Christ in her. And as I read that, the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you know, that's what I want for you, Peter. I want others to see Christ in you. He just really burdened me about that. And I finished reading that article and I wrote that article in the front of my Bible, my flyleaf there. I wanted to keep it, I didn't want to lose it. And I got on my knees and I prayed. And I got up off my knees and one of the habits I even mentioned was I used to smoke cigarettes. And I lit a cigarette after I prayed. And I looked at that and I said, you dummy, what did you just pray? You know, even the world tells us smoking wrong, but I mean, you can't give a testimony we heard this morning about our life. People are watching us and what we're doing.
That's right.
And you can't have cigarettes hanging out of your mouth.
Yes,
or in your pocket.
Yep.
And so I got back on my knees and I cried before the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, He knows us. He knows all about you here tonight. He knows what you're thinking right now.
Yes, sir.
But you know, when I got on my knees and I called on the Lord again, He looked down and I says, you know, Peter loves me. And I just need to do a little miracle in this life. And folks, He touched me that night.
Amen.
Now don't get nervous, but He touched me. He took those cigarettes, they were gone.
Hey,
it was
good.
Over.
Yes, sir.
I mean, He just brought me up out of that horrible pit.
Yes.
Set my feet upon the rocks, established where I'm going, put a new song in my heart.
Amen.
And I got happy. I was excited at what God did. And I got up off my knees that time and I opened my Bible again and I wrote on the bottom of the page there where I had written that article and I said, April 14th, 1977 at 9:40. God changed my life, and I signed my name at the bottom of that. And folks, things haven't been the same.
Amen.
You can ask Mary. She lived with a. We didn't have problems, but we loved each other. But I probably could have been a much better husband, a much better father back in those early years. But God bless. I came home and was able to make arrangements that I didn't have to go back over there. I didn't feel that's where I needed to be. And God started working in my life. And I came back home. I had sold. And you think about this. I love the building business. I really enjoyed it. You know, turn that dirt over, get a new building started, and so on. And dealing with customers and sales is what it's all about. We were a design-built company. And I had mentioned, too, this was after I came back, I worked for a manufacturer of metal buildings, vice president of marketing. I had sold the business. I couldn't get back in it. I maybe could if I wanted to. But the Lord had a plan. He didn't want me in that business. He had other plans for me. And if I had kept part of the ownership and so on, you know, I'd want to get in and be back where I was. But God didn't allow that. And anyway, I was working for Atlantic Steel, vice president of marketing, and was on the road traveling and setting up dealers and so forth. And one day in the office, a letter came, and it was from a church down in Painted Post area somewhere. I can't say for sure what the town was, but it started, "Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Man, I said, "I'm going to take care of that one. I'll call on that one personally." That was a preacher. And I got down, some of you may have heard of this name, Bob Ashback. He pastored here for a while, right? Well, Bob and Jerry were good friends of mine. And Jerry went to Buffalo Bible Institute. Bob was from Buffalo. We knew him. Because my dad, after he left Dr. Rice, he went to the Buffalo Bible Institute and was vice president there at the Bible school for quite a few years. And I was up there back and forth with the kids. Well, just a little humor story, and I'll watch one of them. That clock always seems to go
so
fast.
Quick, yeah.
But I walked in there. They were eating supper. And the Monterey Baptist Church, I think, is where he went to. And he got up, I introduced myself, and he got up and says, "Let's go in the living room." They were sitting in the kitchen, you know, Monterey, little church like this, and so forth. We went in and started talking. And it hadn't registered yet with me who Bob was, and we talked about where he went to school. And I said, "We Buffalo Bible Institute." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Jerry went to school there." And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. I knew Jerry was my dad's secretary, and she knew Peter very well. But now we had not seen each other for probably 30 years. I bowled, walked back into the kitchen, and they were eating around the table. And I said to Jerry, I said, "You don't even listen when people talk to you." She looked at me, "Who is this guy?" I said, "Jerry, what's my name?" And she couldn't say it, and she didn't listen. I said, "Jerry, my name is Peter Newton." Oh, she almost died. He couldn't believe it. But that lit a friendship with Bob and Jerry and their kids. And Bob passed away, I think it was 2 years ago now. Bob went home to be with the Lord. But he was a faithful, faithful minister of the Word of God. I just enjoyed being with Bob and Jerry, and we love them. They're in Virginia, where they live. But anyway, that letter and getting involved with him kind of changed my direction. One day I was going into the office and, you know, reading the Bible, listening to preaching. And that morning going in the office, David Gibbs, I had a CD of David Gibbs, and he was preaching. And I'll never forget, I can just still remember, I beat the steering wheel. And I says, "Lord, I just have to serve you." And when I did that, I just didn't think. I said, "Well, what can you do?" And my church, the Oaxaca Baptist Church, they had outhouses. You don't know what those are. But anyway, I said, "I can clean the outhouses." And I said, "Why did I say that?" But you know, there's all kinds of work to do in a church and be in ministry. I mean, you serve the Lord wherever He put you. And so that was on a Monday morning. And I prayed, and that Friday when I went to the office, they said, you know, we're going to cut back, and we don't need you anymore. And I said, praise God. And I came home and I told Mary, I said, I don't have a job. We're not looking for a job. We're waiting on the Lord. And to make a long story short, that was in September, October, somewhere around there. And we just waited. And, you know, the Lord was good to me in business, so I had some finances. I had a good job with them, a company car, expense account, the whole bit. But the Lord was good, so we weren't hurting that we had to go somewhere right away. And we prayed and prayed about it. We had Christmas at our house that year. All of us got together, and my sister Mary, her husband was a pastor in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia. And he was dying of cancer. He had cancer, and he had survived it for 10 years and then continued preaching, and then it hit him again. And they had given him just a few months. And so he was home for Christmas. And while he was there, I said to my sister, Mary, my wife, I says to Mary, I says, you want Mary and I to come down? Because no family was near them. I said, you want us to come down and just be with you the last few months? Because I was able to go and help Dan church, the people in the church there. And she said, that'd be great. So their kids were all at Bob Jones, and my oldest son was at Bob Jones, so I just had the two kids to go down there. And we were there, I worked in the bus ministry, worked in the church, and Mary always made this prayer. They needed, you know, going to a church, a larger church, they had a Christian school, and they needed a janitor. And so at Easter time that year, we were scrubbing down the restrooms and everything, and Mary was working with me. We've always worked together side by side. She said, you would have had to pray that prayer. But anyway, the Lord used all that. And we were in the buses. We had a great time in the bus ministry. I remember one man particularly that came to know the Lord. And he had two little girls. And he was a big man. He was a big, big man. And he was a black man. And he was on my bus route. And he came and he became faithful. He and his family. His wife died. Well, we were back there years later and went to church there. And that man was there praying. He was faithful in prayer meeting and everything. I was there on a prayer meeting night and went to prayer with him. And, you know, when he prayed, you'd almost want to open your eyes because you think he was talking to God right there. God was right there with him. He was just, the way he talked to the Lord was just a blessing. So we ended up there and the church, and Dan passed away that April, about the same time. And through that time, the Lord was working in my heart, but what am I going to do? And years ago, back in that time, there was, you probably heard of the Freedom, can't remember the name of it now, but Fletcher Brothers. Freedom Village, yeah, all right. We started, I don't like to say this, but we weren't happy with what we were getting in Castile, Warsaw. And I, well, when I came back from Africa, this slips back in there. I came back and I wanted to tell people what happened. And I would go see different men that I had built for, the businessmen, and the head of the Monroe County Fair Association and the convention center there. We had built for them. We built an ice skating rink up there and so on. So I went to see this guy was the executive director there. Anyway, I went in to see him and I was going to share my testimony. He says, Mueller, I heard you got religion. I said, well, that's what I'm here to talk to you about. And we had quite a conversation and he was receptive. I took him to lunch. We went to lunch, and I'll never forget, he said to me, they brought me in, and I says, we got to pray. He says, you can't pray, there's people looking. I says, Bob, you got to thank the Lord. Bob Elhart, too. Bob Elhart. And so I would pray, you know, and he was receptive. And I went back and called on him a couple other times. One time when I went there, he said, "We're having an Anita Bryant concert here at the Dome where we were built years ago." Well, now, I was excited what God did in my life. And folks, you need to stay excited what God's done.
Amen.
And I was afraid of the charismatic movement. I'll just be honest with you. It wasn't for me. I didn't want to get involved in that.
Amen.
But, I mean, I was excited. I wanted to tell people about Jesus. And so I said, "That's okay." He said, "No, you need to meet these guys." And I kind of backed off. Well, then I went to see Bob again. And he said, "Those guys were there. Pastor Brothers, Fletcher Brothers, and Bob Ross were there making a grand." And so he said, "You got to come meet these folks." So I went in the room where they were, and he introduced me. And I just didn't know what to say. I really didn't know. I figured she was charismatic, but she was not. She was at that time in our circle, basically. And so anyway, how am I going to test these guys out? So I said to him very bravely, I said, "You guys ever hear of the sword of the Lord?" I figured that would shake them up. They said, "Yeah, we pass out that paper in our church." Well, guess what? We found a church in Rochester to go to. And we drove there every Sunday and Wednesday to go to church. My son went to pastor school that year in Kyle Anderson. And rededicated his life. He was a senior in high school then, wasn't he? And so all that went together, and why we were there, the Lord just kept working. And that's when, then I went to Philadelphia with my brother-in-law, Dan, after we left there. And while we were working there, God just spoke to our heart. And I went and I counseled with a preacher after my brother-in-law had died. And he said, "Peter, you need to go to Bible school." I said, "Man, I'm 40 years old." I said, "I'm not a student. I got a son in college." And who it was Dr. George Rydell from Williamstown, or Williamson, New Jersey. And so I went back home and told Mary and prayed about it. Well, then the phone rang. It was Bob Ross. Well, it was actually Bruce Foster. Bob Ross had left Freedom Village with Fletcher, went to Oklahoma City and worked with Dr. Jim Vineyard. And I don't know if you ever heard of Jim Vineyard, but you have. Quiet, reserved, bashful man. So they convinced me that I should go out there to Bible study. And so we moved to Oklahoma City. And again, I'm just saying, God's real.
Amen.
And what he does, when he has a plan, it comes together.
That's right.
When we, and I tease about this, when we moved to Philadelphia, you move to the city and you get robbed. Well, we got robbed. Our furniture was in storage and crooks broke in and robbed us and everything. The insurance company had to work with things and taking care of us to pay us for what was stolen and so on. And then we had a couple other things happen. Well, when I realized and Bob had called and the Lord said, "Yes, go," it took less than 3 weeks to sell our house, to get the insurance settled and everything else that was going on. There, I mean, it was just like clockwork. And I remember telling my son, my younger son, he was in the truck with me that we were moving to Oklahoma with. And I said, "Stephen," I said, "if we worked for the government, they couldn't do it this good, the way God has done it." Well, they couldn't do it good anyway. I mean, that was a poor example. But seriously, I just said, it just doesn't happen like this. God did this. And, you know, we're here to praise him. You know, this is a worship service, but to praise him what he's done. And we got to Oklahoma City, and on a Sunday night, went to church, joined the church that night. You come into a new place, you join the church. You don't go chasing all over. You know where God would have you to be. You get involved in the church. Well, we did, and then Monday morning, the real estate man in that church got a hold of us and started showing us houses. He's with the Lord now, but if you should see him, he said, I showed those people every house in Oklahoma City. I mean, but we knew what we needed. And there was one house that was perfect. Walking distance to the church and everything else. And it was already sold. There was a contract on it. But it was empty. It's something we could move right in. And we looked at houses Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And Wednesday afternoon, I said to Jim, I said, Jim, let's go back to Willow Street. I got an idea. So the people had not closed. This was the end of August, 1st September. And the closing was supposed to be the 1st of September. Well, here it was about the 25th or something of August, and nothing's going on. And so I said, let's go back. We went back to the house, we sat there, and I said, Jim, this is what I want you to do. You call the lady that owns it, she was in Texas, and you tell her that we would meet the other price she's got, and but here's the only kick. If that doesn't close, we'll take it. But we had to get our truck unloaded Thursday morning. But we need to unload our furniture and move in here. And then if it should close, we'll move out right away and we'll pay rent for that time we were there. He said, well, she's not going to accept it. I said, yeah, but you know, you can try, we can call. And I said, you let me know tonight at prayer meeting what the answer is. That next morning, we moved into that house.
Amen.
And we stayed there for 3 years. Now that's God, folks.
Yeah.
That's God. We have a God in heaven. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I'll answer you. Do you know what he says in the next verse? And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, he's the creator of this universe, of all things that we have. You know, what's a house? I mean, he wants to show himself powerful to us. When you call on him, I mean, he wants you to see. And he's real. I have a book that I recommend to everybody by Dr. Dallas Billington called God is Real. He was the founder of Akron Baptist Temple. And if you want to read a book and get excited and you don't want to put it down, read it. By Dr. Dallas Billington, he's with the Lord now. And he was just a country boy from Kentucky that went up to Akron, Ohio, working a tire plant during the war and started a church. And it's just a story of miracles. And I can relate to some of them too. And I'll insert what happened in Ukraine with this. We had the Lord blessed there. I mean, the way I got there, well, I better stay where I'm going. We're not going to get into this. But we need to praise the Lord, right?
That's right. This is God's doing. We like it.
Anyway, We went to school, graduated, and while I was there, and not to say anything negative against your preacher or small churches, but growing up in Cast Iron, little place, let's face it, the preacher, he didn't get paid enough to do anything. He had to do another job, and they didn't have money to invite evangelists in or somebody to come preach, somebody different. And I started hearing these preachers. Man, they lit my heart, man. They lit my fire, you know. And I said, the people back home need to hear this. And my brother-in-law had died with cancer. And he spoke his, one of the last messages was at Akron Baptist Temple. And when he preached there, they were on television. And I got the TV tape up. And it was on 3/4-inch television stock. And we had a beta thing, you know, VCRs were very new back then, and I got transferred to a beta tape, and Mary and I are sitting there with our kids watching it, and all of a sudden I said, you know what? This is how we could reach and help others. They would watch a video instead of watching a cassette tour around. And so we started what we call Beacon Video Ministry, and we started recording the first service. I recorded was Dr. Jim Vineyard. It was Sunday morning, and I had a bus route when I was here at school. And I had this man had, if you know anything about a bus route, they're fun. But you do have some families that you don't want. Anyway, there's one family, there was the three boys and a girl, and the husband and wife. Now the mom and dad wouldn't come, the kids came, but they were troubled most all the time. This one morning, it was cold. It was the first time I was going to take the survey. And when I went by that house and stopped and went up there, here comes Daddy. Had a white shirt on, no jacket. He dressed very nice, you know, came. Got on the bus, and I just couldn't believe it. And Mel Brindley would sit with me. I had him sit with me in church, but I had to run the camera that we were doing the first video. And I said to Mel, I said, now when that invitation was given, I said, he's ready. I said, you got to talk to him. And so the invitation was given. I was up there with the camera. Now, never, he didn't have to talk to him or anything. He was down that aisle like that, and he got saved. And so that was just a real blessing, but one of the things that happened along the way. But anyway, so we started the video ministry, and we helped little churches, and we started churches with the tape. People in their home would use them and so on. But we started going to the different conferences, Southwide, the Sword, Fellowship, and so on, the different conferences to record the preachers. And then we did testimonies, like Dr. Tom Williams. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Tom Williams, we did his stories way back. And Tom is a very, very good friend of ours. He was his second wife, his third wife now, if you all know that story anyway. So, but anyway, we did that. We made other things for devotions for families. We did children's things. And God used that. And we really enjoyed what we were doing. And so we were able to, I'll never forget the way God supplies. We checked on the equipment to buy, you know, we just had a home camera. And I'll never forget when I went to the store to check on equipment, professional equipment. And like $40,000 for the camera. This is good. And I'll never forget going home, laying in the hallway, and just crying, Lord, how can I do this? Nobody's going to pay for this. But God provided through the years. And then that clock is moving real fast. And so real quickly, the International Board of Jewish Missions was going to Ukraine, and they asked me to do a video because we were helping missionaries. And so I went to Ukraine with them, and God just broke my heart for those people. That was in April, and we went back again in October, and that's also broke. We just stayed there. But I started to say, and I'll close with this, I like to brag about God.
Amen.
I mean, He is God. He's created all things, folks. He gives us the very air we breathe. He keeps us going day by day. But we've done a lot of building projects over there and helped people. And so far, I've seen a lot of people say we got six pastors. Well, actually seven. The seventh one, they're on their own. The first church was Grace Baptist Church over there in Chicago. But, it takes money. And I don't go out and I go to pray. I'm not here to raise support. God has taken care of it. I mean, I like to come to churches, and I've been to some of them where they want to do a love offering. I said, no, you guys keep that. God's taking care of our needs. But anyway, we're praying. We need this. And Mary and I prayed together. We both went to our house. And I said to the Lord when I prayed, Lord, I'm so dumb. Hey, when you talk to them, just be yourself. We don't have to be any high, mighty, any mighty. We're just who we are. And I just said, Lord, I'm so dumb. I don't know how to raise this money. You know what we need. And finished our prayer. Within 5-10 minutes it was, I got a phone call from the preacher. And we needed a lot of money then. He says, Peter, we watched the video last night of the work that you're doing over there in Ukraine. And we really appreciate all you're doing, and we just want to help you. He says, our church last night voted to give you a check. We're sending you a check for $100,000.
Amen.
Thanks, God. I can tell you story after story how God has, not just financially, but seeing people saved and doing the work there and see things happen, that God had just blessed in a miraculous way. And I can't leave. I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to give the preacher the time to do an invitation. But I want to say the message I wanted to preach is salvation, if you have it, where will it take you? You know, it's going to take you to heaven. It's going to take you into happiness. It's going to take you into holiness. It's going to take you, and this is the best part, and I wanted to dwell on. and will take you into the harvest. What's the harvest? Is telling others about Jesus. That's the best part of being a Christian, is to tell others. And the stories, and God gives you things. Well, as you travel, he opens the door for you. We traveled in a motorhome and had the grease and oil done. The guy says, well, what's your final destination? Woo! Heaven! The motorhome is not going there, but I am. That's our final destination. You know, that's the way it is. The Lord just opens doors. And it's fun telling people about Jesus. There's one thing I've done twice in my life, and that is we eat out quite often at restaurants. And we were in near Knoxville, and lady brought everything, the table all set, and just, and she was clean and nice, looked like a Christian. You know, she just, the way she dressed and her mannerism. And she came back to the table, she says, now, what can I do? What else do you need? And I says, you know, there's one thing we need. She says, what's that? Somebody to thank the Lord for this. She dropped to her knees right there, grabbed her hand, but she prayed. I mean, she prayed. She knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I've only done that twice in my life. And that was the blessing. The other time was in pastor school one year up in Hammond. And the girl there was a Christian, and she gave a prayer that was excellent. But you know, the Lord gives you opportunities. And I don't think of all these things to happen. He just opens the door. And we love you folks. I appreciate being here. I just thank the Lord for this opportunity. And I just wish we could stay and share with you. But we will check with you next year.
Yeah, you don't you dare come back to Western New York without stopping. Pastor Haynes, would you come up for song? Now listen, we do something a little bit different today. No doubt in my mind that God dealt with some people. No doubt in my mind. Now, you may not know what God's trying to tell you. Okay? If you heard anything in that message, it's that God doesn't spell it all out right away. He makes steps of obedience to God. The ladies prepared a meal. The newcomers can't stay. Not their fault. Our disappointment, our loss, they can't stay. They have a you eat, but they can't stay for one, okay. All right, but they're going to stay and eat with us. But here's what I'd like. When you've eaten, if you're willing to make whatever steps God would have for you, you come on up here and do some praying at this altar after you're done eating, okay? In other words, if you're willing, you say, you know what, I don't know what God has for me, okay? I'm not talking about the emotionalism of this moment, but I'm talking, you've done eating, normally you sit around, go somewhere and pick your teeth and burp or whatever. Come on up here, maybe sit in some of these front pews, maybe pray, kneel there at this altar. You see if you and God can't get together and what you're willing to do with God, okay? Brother Bucher, we have been honored to have you here this morning.